My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you are a Steelers fan, if you're a Browns fan, if you're a Kansas City fan, if you're one of those fans out there, it'll hit home with you, but in a different way. That coming up at 8:20. 216-474-0092. So what you brought up Watson and what he's dealing with, and we'll get to the stadium stuff coming up here in about 8 minutes. You brought up Watson, what he's dealing with.
Don't you think he has been cool and calm every time I've ever seen him in front of a camera?
Yeah.
I've said I don't know if he's the best communicator in general, right? I mean, he's not the most verbose, but what I mean is nothing ever seems to really get to him. Anytime I've seen him interviewed about, you know, an upcoming season, anytime during the season, dealing with injuries, it was different this weekend. It seems like he has a bunch of frustration about how this has gone, collected over the course of not just 2 years. I mean, that seemed like 4 years
of that
kind of was all balled up that he was dealing with.
Yeah, and I think he's fighting. I really do think he's fighting an uphill battle with, you know, the way he's seen by fans. And I'm not even starting. I'm looking at what he's done in a Browns uniform. You know, nothing else. Okay, I think it's an uphill battle just because of who they had to trade. You know who eventually, because he demanded it. They had to trade. You know who when they traded for him, and that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Then you have what he's done since, and what he's done since, again, has been fits and spurts and one step forward and two step back over the last 2 years. And I think that he knows that, and I think that he's frustrated by that because it has to be frustrating to when you do well, you get injured. When something goes your way, you get injured. The Tennessee game, man, he was 289 and three touchdowns. It was a workmanlike effort. Like, the first drive, he had to make some things happen, and then the rest, it just, things fell into place for them offensively. They were, and that's a good natural pass rush, by the way. He was able to get around it. He was able to do some things differently there, and it was such a good day at the office for him. You're looking at it going, this is where maybe it takes off. It's game three of the season now. They had the horrific nighter, Monday night, was it Monday night or Sunday night, or forget, Monday nighter against Pittsburgh. We're past that now. Now things can take off here. Nope, he's hurt. And the next week went terrible. And then he comes back too early because I'm telling you, that's where I was with the Indianapolis game. I know everybody says, well, he's 5-1 as a starter. They count the Indianapolis game because he started that game. You and I know he was terrible in that game. And then he gets knocked out of that game, and I thought it was, and that's why I was afraid of him playing against Arizona a couple of weeks later because I didn't really want him to go out and try to force it again just to prove to himself and to everybody that he still has it, which is what I think he was doing against Indianapolis. And then he's out the next week, and he comes back out against Arizona. Turns out I was wrong. He was good in that game. Then goes out the next week against Baltimore. Turns in one of the worst first halves we've ever seen. Follows it up with one of the greatest second halves I've ever seen. And then he's out for the rest of the season. It has to be frustrating to find something for a moment that you used to have and then have it go away in a second. find it again, and then have it go away in a second. And now he's got to know that it's been 4 years since he's really been a top-end quality quarterback. That time, he's lost that time, and now he's running out of it. And so when people accuse him of, well, I don't think he's working very hard. Why? Well, I saw on Instagram he was in Saudi Arabia. Okay, well, I can tell you on a Bible, in a courtroom, he's working as hard as he can. That's why this year is the pivotal year. Because I don't. If he can't get it this year, I think that might just be where he gives up on himself. I mean, because it would be. Then you're talking 5 years since you've been a great quarterback.
Right. Which
if you're
is,
talking
you're
5 years
since, that.
Since you, it's been 5 years since you've been a quote unquote great quarterback. He kind of is what you is. I mean, what
that,
you is might be a middling back end quarterback if
Russell
you can't
Wilson?
Get it going this year.
Isn't that the yes. conversation about Russ?
Yes.
So, boy, it is so interesting to me that...
I think he's as bad as Russell is, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Russ was better than him statistically last year. So this is where I come to this kind of a crossroads here. I asked you last segment, physical or mental with Deshaun Watson?
I think that the physical blends into the mental.
What do you think the Browns thought?
What, going this year? Or what do you mean, getting him in the trade?
What do you think the Browns think was holding him back? Physical, mental, because I'll tell you the one thing they did do, change the offense. Did they change the offense because they thought it was a physical thing or a mental thing with Deshaun?
Probably a little bit of column A and column B. Because you have to play different if you're hurting. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, he's a big enough body where you can kind of throw the football if your ribs aren't feeling great. Yeah, he's a big enough size. That's where... You know, people took this all personally with Baker. I was like, no, it's not personal. It's just, this is the truth of it. He's not that big a guy. He needs his entire body to really get the velocity. When he hurt his shoulder, he couldn't get his whole body into it. I mean, it's just a breakdown of kinesiology, for crying out loud, guys. With him, he's a big enough body, he can do it. So for us, it looks kind of similar to what he's done, but they know the ins and outs of it, and they know that there's problems. And also, because there's those problems, I think that does affect his confidence. Well, you need somebody to help you see the clarity of things and make this offense sing for you now in season three. And with Kevin Stefanski calling plays, see, I thought it might be with Kevin. He would step away from play calling, oversee the entire thing. Ken Dorsey would call the plays. Then they could see how it works. I think it's going to go the opposite direction. I think Ken Dorsey kind of gives an overlay of what everything's going to go on with the offense. Kevin's going to call the plays, and then they'll put their scenarios together. And their scenario together might turn into a disaster. But it's all for the. It's supposed to be all for the benefit of Deshaun Watson. And that can't be anything but a little bit of mental with it. Yeah, it has to be. And this is an offense that, really, when you break it down, I know it's complex, and I know that there's things that are there, but when he goes into his most natural state, Stefanski, with his offense and play calling, kind of simple. But now you have a quarterback that you don't want to simplify it for. You want to make the best of what abilities he has. Because Kevin Stefanski's called offenses for quarterbacks who do not have the physical capabilities of what Deshaun Watson has. Now you're trying to make the best of that, and that's why Ken Dorsey's here.
I mean, the explosive plays all came the minute Joe Flacco took over. So all of a sudden you're seeing new features of the Stefanski offense that we did not see with the previous quarterback, with the guy who's now the quarterback again. Yeah. That is the hard part for fans to truly digest. Like, it's another moving part. It just adds more information to this debate that we're having about Watson and what he can do and what he can't do.
Because it's tough, because I can't sit there on July 29th and ask people, do you think Watson's going to be good or not this year? One, I don't think I'm going to like the answers. Two, it's not that great of a question. So all we have to do as fans is sit here and chew the fat and go over any sort of thing that we saw, whether it was preseason throws. I don't know if he's going to play much in the preseason. Was that discussed earlier?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it came up definitely on Friday because new offensive coordinator. We didn't know about the play calling situation. We were assuming it was going to be a new play caller. That obviously didn't happen with the news on Thursday that it wasn't.
Here's Kevin on him.
I think you always have to look at every decision and what's in the best interest of the club and the best interest of the player. We have some time before we make that decision. You know, I've done it a bunch of different ways for different players over the years, and really the whole goal is to get ready for this season and beyond and get ready for September 8th. So if we feel like it's important to play, we'll do that. If we feel like it's not, we'll do that.
Here's Deshaun Watson on playing in the preseason.
That's a Kevin decision. If I'm playing, I'm on the field, I got to go out there and perform. So anytime I'm on that field, I'm competing. And if I play, and then I play. If not, then I support my teammates.
I don't know if that's as much a Kevin decision as you have to sit down and collaborate on something like that. I mean, he is the franchise quarterback. We all know this thing sinks or swims based on what he does. If he feels he needs preseason reps, and I'd put him out there. I would. You have to play your ones a little bit longer than you might want to, but you have to put him out there. And you have to make sure he's protected by your ones.
I mean, in the past, I've said, especially after, you know, Sean McVay led the way, changed, really evolved the thinking of, I think, everybody in the NFL, when kind of was like, ah, these guys don't really need to be out there, do they? With Deshaun, I've changed. I flip-flopped. Like, I do think this year he needs to be out there a little bit. I think it's going to make the biggest difference in the world? I don't know. And are you exposing him to injury? I would hope not, because I would like to think that it's so pre-programmed. You're going over some specific things.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lose my mind if he doesn't play at all, but I wouldn't be shocked then if he totally struggles in the first half against Dallas and you're down 14 points. Like, but that would not shock me.
It wouldn't either, but I think that it has to be discussed between the two, because, again, you have to figure out if the first game of the season is going to be those reps. And I hate, and I'll finish up with this, because I know we got to get to a call and we wanted to talk about the stadium stuff. I didn't like that when Sean McVay did it, it just became the blueprint for everybody else to say it. I think it goes team by team. Sean McVay, when he has Matt Stafford's a veteran, knows what the hell he's doing, okay? Matt Stafford and his offense, they're good together. I think it's been kind of underrated about how well they've all worked together, and they won a Super Bowl, for crying out loud.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
But you have a team that you got a lot of veterans on that team. Or you haven't had a first round pick, and so this year was the first round pick they had in what, 6 years, 7 years, whatever it was. So you had a team that was veteran laden, kind of knows what they're doing. But with a lot of other teams, it's going to be bad first weeks, bad second weeks, because it's sloppy. They haven't been on the field that much together. I don't think every team could just afford to not play players in the preseason. I don't think that that's the way to do it. And for the Browns, hey, you got a lot of veterans on this team. Myles Garrett doesn't have to play in the preseason. Neither does Denzel Ward. If Nick Chubb were healthy and we weren't talking about the injury, and he looks pretty healthy and getting back, but if we weren't talking about the injury, no way that any of us want to play Nick Chubb in the preseason. But when Deshaun Watson's coming back, and part of this is physical, but I think that the physical part has affected the mental ability of what he's going to want to do in this season in terms of trusting his offense, the confidence he has in his offense, then maybe he wants to be out there in the field a little bit. Get some work in. You get some confidence back in the shoulder. Get some confidence back in his receivers. Be able to digest what he wants in an offense. It's not going to be a lot of hardcore stuff, because you're not going to show a lot of things. But if it helps build Watson's confidence, then yeah, hell, I'm all for it. Jeffrey in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Okay, so this is my question to you guys. Is Kev taking this Dorsey guy under his wing, or is Dorsey taking Kev under his wing?
I don't think there's anybody taking anybody under any wings. I think it's probably a shared sort of thing there, Jeffrey.
Well, listening to Kev speak, he is very concise, and he is very adamant that I'm calling the play. It sounds like Kev taking this guy under his wing.
That's a scenario I never really thought of.
I will say last week, I made the point on Friday when it emerged that he was going to call the plays and continue calling the plays. I think Ken Dorsey may not have wowed Stefanski.
Thank you for the call.
I think Dorsey might not have wowed him the way that, you know, he might have been hoping. I think it was generally, if you take Kevin Stefanski at his word, that it had not been solidified who's going to call the plays. I think it's pretty clear by the fact that Stefanski is still the one calling his plays, that Dorsey came over here, you know, they had all their meetings, he picked his brain. I think that Dorsey came here thinking he was going to have a chance to call the plays. Didn't happen. Well, why else would that have been?
The chance to call the plays, not the guarantee to call the plays.
Sure. So why didn't it happen?
Well, probably because Kevin Stefanski, like a lot of coaches, I find he's very collaborative, but I
think he would have had to be blown away. Yes. And he just wasn't blown away.
Yes. Trust is a very, very tough thing to earn with a football coach, and especially with something that they've controlled for a very long period of time.
And by the way,
a very difficult thing to give up.
That Stefanski's been successful doing.
It's true. Here's Jimmy Haslam, by the way. The stadium was talked about over the weekend. Here's Jimmy Haslam talking about the stadium situation with your Cleveland Browns.
This is a big project, okay? No matter which direction we go into, it's complicated. Anytime you have a public-private partnership, it's not easy. We're continuing to work through the process, and we hope sooner rather than later we'll have a solution. I can assure you we were on the phone for an hour this morning talking about various things that have to be solved and one solution or the other, and we'll continue to do so.
Here's Jimmy on the fans.
That is driving 90% of the decision-making. What's best for our fans? Because these are long, long-term decisions. This isn't a 5-year decision, a 10-year decision. It's at least a 20-year decision, maybe more. So what is best for our fans will ultimately drive what we do.
I'd hope it'd be more like a 30-year decision, but you have to make sure you have the right infrastructure within the stadium to be able to make necessary changes with changing tastes in American sports. Here is Jimmy on whether or not if it's the Brook Park or renovation situation.
If we go to Brook Park, and I'm not saying we are, that's a $2.4 billion project, plus the real estate development around it, which make about $3.5 billion. That would be the third or fourth largest construction project ever done in Ohio. If we remodel our existing stadium and spend $1 billion, that's more than Sherwin-Williams is spending on their downtown office building. So the complexity of these, getting the design right, the cost right, making sure you can finance it, how much equity it's going to take, working with city, county, and state just takes time, and everybody is working hard on it.
One more for you here. Here's D Haslam on trying to solve the issues with the current stadium.
I just think we're really trying to solve a lot of the problems with the current stadium. Safety for the fans getting in and out of the stadium, make it easier for them. It's really complex to get all that worked out and solved. So I think those are some of the major issues we're trying. Functionally, we have a lot of issues with the current stadium that we're trying to solve.
I know I had the obligation to play that for everybody, but my opinion did not really change listening to Jimmy and D. Haslam. I still question whether or not the powers that be in the city actually want them in downtown Cleveland anymore.
Yeah, and then the way that they're basically dumping on the existing structure. I mean, they're telling you, listen to the language used.
Well, it needs a lot.
To talk about it. And their case has been pretty adamant and pretty consistent over the past, I would say, 6 months, 6 to 8 months. They're like, man, it is just going to cost a lot of money to continually work on the upkeep of that facility and where it is. It's just going to something we're going to always have to be doing, even though, you know, maintenance and repairs are something they'd have to do with the new structure too.
Yeah, but I don't want to turn it.
You could just tell they're just not thrilled with the prospects of having to stay in that same location.
U.S. Bank was built. It's pristine, and it still needed $700 million worth of improvements, sparsed out over a couple of years, obviously. I understand that. But I also know that I don't want to be having this conversation, throw $1 billion at the problem right now with the stadium and then do this all over again in 8 years or 7 years, for crying out loud. Well, I don't want to do that.
And then every time you have a bad weather game, which it seems like the majority now are bad weather games at that stadium, having the empty seats that they have, having the lack of, you know, purchasing that's going on in that. I mean, they have the numbers on that. They know that when they brought to the Bears game, when they brought the governor and the commissioner to that game last year, it was another bad weather game. You think they were looking at that going, yeah, this is the future?
Darryl.
No, absolutely not.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.